the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Rachel, and we're going to spend a few moments now thinking about that story a little bit more, and the words from that passage, which are in Acts chapter 2. This is carrying on the series that we started last week called Acting It Out, which is all about how the disciples took the good news about Jesus and they went to live it and share it in the world. So we're going to read a bit from Acts chapter 2. So if you want to grab a Bible, you can look it up in there. I'm going to pray for us before I say anything else. Dear Lord, thank you for the chance this morning to open your word, to be encouraged, to hear from you. Thank you. We know that you're here with us by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that the things that we talk about, the things that we share together this morning would sink deeper into our hearts, that we might know you more, and that you would give us fresh confidence in who you are and all you've done. Amen. Okay, so we are going to talk about Acts chapter 2. Last week, if you were in the talk in the auditorium here, Steve talked about Jesus' ascension when he went back to heaven and how he called his disciples to go out and continue his kingdom work, to be witnesses of God's good news by living a Christ-shaped life with God, not just for God. He told the disciples to do that, but first they had to wait. So today is Pentecost Sunday, and it's when the Old Testament festival took on new meaning because what they were waiting for finally happens. The Holy Spirit comes and gives power to the voice of the disciples to declare the wonders of God, to worship, and to witness, to be Christ-filled people on God's mission with him, to share what God has done with the world. So that's what we're going to think about this morning. So we're going to read a little bit from the passage, kind of dip in and out of that, and then talk about it as we go along. So if you want to follow it in the Bible, it's going to be on the screen as well, if you'd like to follow in that way. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is what they were waiting for. Now, this isn't like hot, burny, scalding fire actually landing on people. It says that they were filled up. The tongues of fire were a miraculous sign from God, linking back to the Old Testament and God's personal presence. God isn't with them in flesh anymore as Jesus the man, but he is with them in their hearts in a spiritual way. Jesus was the Spirit-filled person. Steve talked about that last week in Kids for Christ and in SOS. We talked about that last week too, how the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus and all that he did. But now that same Holy Spirit is filling up these ordinary followers of Jesus. This is what they've been waiting for, to become people filled with God's power, his personal presence, his Spirit in them all the time, so that they can go out to be his kingdom people in the world. So what happened when they got filled up? Let's carry on reading from verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then this is then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. So, when the Holy Spirit fills up God's people, he gives them power. He empowers their voices to declare the wonders of God, to talk about the great things that God has done, to worship God joyfully and to celebrate, just like we've done already this morning. We often declare God's wonders ourselves by singing when we gather together in church. I wonder if you registered the words that we've just sung. Do they make you feel amazed every time you are reminded of God's wonderful work, on a big scale or on a personal scale? Or do they just go in one ear and out the other because we're not really paying attention? We've just sung about God's power to make this incredible world, his power to defeat sin and death, his love for each individual person, even though he sees the depths of our hearts, his faithfulness, how he frees us and he saves us and he makes us alive. These are the wonders of God that I think the disciples were probably declaring in joyful voices by the Spirit, by the Spirit's power bubbling up in them. Declaring God's wonders in our daily lives is an encouragement to everyone. Now, the disciples do this together, but then they spill out into the streets and they start telling other people what God has done. And not only that, but in all sorts of different languages so that everyone can understand. How amazing is that? Well, it literally is, because it says that the people said that they were amazed. So it's pretty amazing. The Holy Spirit filling people up has given them this miraculous skill of speaking languages and confident hearts and voices to know that God has come through on his promises, that his kingdom is real and alive now, and the work he's already asked them to do is possible because he is with them by his Spirit. They couldn't do this by themselves, but they can live a Christ-shaped life with the Spirit's power. Now, when that happens for the disciples at Pentecost, people were amazed and they were perplexed. It's kind of a bit like saying confused. Can you pull a confused face? Yeah, very good. Well done. You're still paying attention. And they ask this great question: what does this mean? When people talk about all that God has done and is doing in their lives and the world, people ask questions. They get curious. I wonder if there's anything you don't understand about God or his world at the moment. Don't be afraid to ask, what does this mean? To ask God and to ask other people. God wants us to be curious, to discover, to be open, to hear from him. And the Holy Spirit also gives people the ability to respond, to explain, to be able to answer these questions. And that's what Peter does as we carry on reading the next bit of our passage. But I wonder who might be around you asking that question at the moment. Don't forget, the Holy Spirit can help you to answer, just like he does here with Peter. So let's carry on reading from verse 14. We're going to read a little bit and then we're going to skip on a tiny bit more. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." Then he quotes from the prophet Joel for a bit and then we're going to skip down to verse 22. "People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Wow. Peter is standing up and being bold here. This is not an everyday thing for Peter until now. It was probably quite scary. But Peter's been filled with the power of the Spirit. And now he's like, come on, let's go. People need to know. He doesn't seem just like a humble, illiterate fisherman anymore. His life has this new confidence from God's Spirit. He's not afraid to show the transforming power of God in his life. Simply by standing up to speak to them, he's showing that God has made a difference, let alone before he starts saying any words. First and foremost, his life is a witness to what God has done, how Jesus has changed him. And the Holy Spirit empowers him and equips him with this voice to talk about Jesus. Suddenly, he can't help but go out to do the work that God has asked him to do. He wants everyone to know that what Jesus has done, that's what witnessing is. It's about sharing the story of God's work in the world. Now, when I was thinking about this, I thought about this song. Some of you might be very familiar with it. Some of you might not know it at all, but you're about to. At Takeoff, we do this song called The Marching Song. We call it that because when we sing it, we march about. So get ready. This is the words of the song. The Lord loves me. He really, really loves me. The Lord loves me. I want you all to know. Hey, there's a hey in there, just so you know. We sing this song and we march to it and we declare to everyone that God loves us. And this is something that we want to share. This is our testimony. And I think partly it came into my head because actually this is something that I have shared several times with a few different people over the last few weeks in conversations with people who wouldn't call themselves Christians. Actually, this is the thing that I have talked to them about, how I know God loves me. He really, really loves me, no matter what. So, this is your short interlude. Please humor me. This is an easy way to practice sharing the story and living the life today. This is a moment to declare this amazing truth that God loves us as a witness to one another. So, if you could stand up, please. Get ready, limber up. There are actions to this. And the important thing you need to know is when you start to hear the drums and the cymbals, you're allowed to start marching, okay? And I would encourage you to march as far as you can around the room. And then when the music starts to go out again and get softer and fades out, you've got to get back to your seat as quickly as possible. That's how we do it in Takeoff, so that's how we're doing it this morning. Now, if you're in Takeoff, or you've been in Takeoff at some point in your life, which is probably actually quite a lot of you, I'd love you to lead us in this. I'm going to do the actions up here, but then I'm going to start marching around, so you need to pay attention so you know what the actions are. If you would like a moment to move and do some marching, please join in with me so I'm not the only one. Okay? Here we go. This is the marching song. So when we talk about witnessing, I think that sentence is the easiest, the best starting point of our witness is to tell people, I know that the Lord loves me, and I want you to know that too. Maybe there's somebody that you could share that with this week. Okay, you can have a little rest while you listen to the next little bit of the passage. We're going to carry on reading from verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When Peter... did you catch that first bit about what Peter said? He declares that they are all witnesses of God's mighty power and the completion of Jesus' work. And it is the Spirit in him that testifies to that reality. He is confident that Jesus is the Lord and Messiah because he now has the Spirit in him. And did you notice, when he did that, his worship and his witness were inseparable. He talks about God to people. For us, we aren't meant to live one in here, where we worship and we talk about how great God is in here, and one out there. All of our life is Spirit-filled, living as followers of Jesus. The way that we declare God's wonders in our everyday life is our worship and is our witness and our worship. And our witness is how we show and tell people about the great things that God has done in us. This is not a bonus to the Christian life. It's purposeful because it's how the good news of God's kingdom spreads and grows. It's what Jesus has instructed his followers to do. I wonder if you remember these words from last week in Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, remember back to Acts chapter 2, we read a little bit earlier about all those different languages that they spoke. I wonder if anyone knows what these highlighted land masses are. If you need a clue, they're in Acts chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. I'm going to give you a minute to see if you can work it out. Talk to the person next to you. Okay, 3, 2, 1, ding, ding, ding. Time up. Okay, does anyone think they know what the red one is? Shout it out. We've had a Cappadocia from over the back. Any different answers? You're like, I got no clue, Rachel. Why did you ask me to do that? Okay, I'll tell you the first one. This might help you with the other ones. That's Rome. What about the green one? Mesopotamia. Iran. Persia. Medes. Yeah. Syria. Now you're just saying all the different ones in the hope that one was right. This is Parthia, or what was Parthia at that time? What about this bottom one? Hey, well done. Some people in the middle that got that one. That's Cappadocia, which is part of modern-day Turkey. This is where those places are on a map. See if you can spot them. These are all the places that are mentioned in Acts chapter 2. This story begins in Jerusalem. This is where the disciples are at this time. But then it goes out to Judea and then Samaria, which is kind of the wider area around there. And then towards the ends of the earth. So you've got Rome to the west. You've got Parthia to the east. You've got Cappadocia to the north. You've got Egypt and Arabia to the south. And beyond that, to the ends of the world. Oh, that's where Jerusalem is. That's the Judea-Samaria area. That's the area that includes all those different places mentioned in Acts chapter 2. And that is the ends of the earth. What's incredible is that the Holy Spirit gives this big power boost to God's people to declare the wonders of God to other, everyday, ordinary people And we are an ongoing part of that story. We're included in the ends of the earth because somebody else told us about the wonders of God, including Jesus's, how Jesus rescues us from sin and death and transforms our reality. Now, we are part of the ends of the earth. Because what happens at the very end of this story, the result of the Holy Spirit empowering Peter and those first disciples. Let's read on from verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to that number that day. When Peter declared God's wonders and became a witness to others through his voice empowered by the Holy Spirit, people responded. The Holy Spirit moved in people's hearts. People repented. That means they turned in a new direction and they chose to follow Jesus. And they too received the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, it is. Isn't that what we want? For our friends, for our family, for our city, to see that the transforming power of God in other people's lives. For our church to grow because more people hear about what God has done and choose to repent and be baptized. Isn't that what we want? Yeah, it's what I want, for sure. This is the reassurance for us in all of this. God does the hard work here. It's the Holy Spirit's power doing the real business of transformation in people's hearts and in the world. God fills up Peter and equips him with this voice and confidence to share the good news with those around him. God fills us and he equips us to be part of his work in the world. We can grow into Christ's likeness because the Holy Spirit is in us. We can have a confident voice because the Holy Spirit is in us. This is how we live a Christ-filled life and we share a Christ-filled story because God is with us by his Spirit at work in us. He's always there to help us, to lead us, to give us a voice, and to give us confidence. We never have to do this on our own or in our own strength. We are not working for God. We are working with him. Peter is a great example of that to us this morning. But now it's our turn too. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, that you love us and you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for filling us with power to know you, to see your wonders. Thank you that you give us confidence in who you are and all that Jesus has done for us. Thank you that we can know that you're at work in us and that you work through us and with us. That we don't do this on our own. Please would you help us to live Christ-shaped lives with you, full of confidence in the truth of your gospel. Amen.